and thank you for being here this morning. My name is Zach Zimbreski, and today I'm going to be talking with you about space-time variability of drought in the Great Plains, both past and future. And this work I did with myself and my advisor, Zhao Melvin. So what is drought? A drought is a condition of moisture deficit sufficient to have some sort of adverse effect on vegetation, animals, and mankind. And so how do we quantify this? Well, we use something called the drought indices, which quantifies the extent of dryness an area undergoes for some particular time scale. And two of the indices I'm going to talk about in this study are the Palmer Drought Severity Index, which was developed in 1965 by Wayne Palmer. It is a soil moisture-based indice that uses available water capacity, monthly precipitation, and temperature to calculate potential evapotranspiration using the Thornwith methodology. And the second indice I'm going to be talking about is the Standardized Precipitation Evapotranspiration Index, which is a more recent index developed in 2010, which uses monthly precipitation and temperature to calculate a departure from normal conditions based on a statistical distribution, which in this case is a log-logistic distribution. And the types of droughts I'm going to be exploring in the study are agricultural drought, which has effects on crop production, and hydrological drought, which is more on reservoirs, underground surface water, et cetera. Okay, so my main objective is to investigate the spatial and temporal variability of historical and projected drought in the Great Plains between 1900 and 2014, which I'm considering my historical period, and 2015 to 2100, which is my projected, using a linear algebra technique called empirical orthogonal functions. And here is my data domain, which covers most of the Great Plains from north central Texas all the way through North Dakota and Minnesota. The western boundary is the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains, and the eastern boundary is the end or the eastern edge of the Great Plains. The resolution is 0.5 degrees latitude by 0.5 degrees longitude. Our data sources. So the drought indices that I've talked about are going to be the Palmer Drought Severity Index and the SPEI, which in the study is going to be the 1 month, the 3 month, and the 24 month. 1 and 3 month are considered agricultural drought indices, and the 24 month time step is a hydrological drought indice. The data we got from historical is the PRISM, which is available through Oregon State University. We got precipitation and temperature from PRISM. And then for our projection data sets, we used a coupled model and comparison project in phase five. We used three different models of the 29 available. And the scenario we used is the RCP 4.5, which is the radiative forcing in watts per meter squared, and 2100 compared to pre-industrial values. And this is the scenario that CO2 is projected to peak in 2040 and decline thereafter. And then, so for each projection model, 1, 2, 3, we interpolated each to the same 0.5 by 0.5 degrees grid. Then we calculated a model mean drought indice. Okay, so simply explaining empirical orthogonal functions, the goal is to seek uncorrelated field structures that explain the maximum amount of variance in both space and time through some linear decomposition. And so it's basically a reduction in complexity of a spatial and temporal signal to a few leading modes that can accurately capture the variation of that signal on both space and time. So here we have, if this is our original signal, we can decompose it into the first mode, which will explain most of the variation, followed by the second mode, which explains a little bit less than the first mode, third mode, all the way down until, in this case, we have 936, but all 936 will not be significant. And, So one of the limitations of EOFs is that each corresponding principal component after the first and second have to be orthogonal, which means that there's no cross-correlation between the two, so which doesn't always make sense when you're trying to physically interpret these maps and principal components. So we use rotated EOFs, and in this case we use the Varimax rotation to obtain simpler structures. And then the goal of this is to identify subclimate regions of similar variability using those statistically significant retained EOFs from our original EOF analysis. And that test we used was North's rule. So results of our historical period. Here we have seasonal PDSI. On the left, we have winter. On the right, we have summer. And so as you can see for seasonal BSI in the winter, there's only three subclimates identified by the EOF analysis. And the triangles that are blue represent positive trends over time in the indice, which is the PDSI. So of the three identified, which for the first one covers from north central Texas all the way up through Nebraska, third is pretty much the eastern portion of our study area, and the second is from central Nebraska northward. Only the third one showed a positive trend, which is a trend in wetting. On the right side, for summer, we had eight subclimates identified, which indicates that it's a much more complex season, which is not surprising considering that convective precipitation is the dominant source of precipitation in the summertime. So of these eight, we had four identify as positive trends for wetting from eastern Texas all the way up through northern Minnesota. Then the only subclimate that was a negative trend over time was in eastern Colorado and western Kansas. Now switching over to the spring SPEI 1 month, which is an agricultural-based indice. It was a relatively comparatively a simple drought indice. It captured two regions of drought variability, one in the southern plains and one in the northern plains. The yellow, which is hard to tell in this figure, is correlated most strongly to this particular principal component series. And of these two series, only one had a statistically significant trend at the 0.05 alpha level, and that was in the southern plains. As you can see, it's increasing over time. Then for the summer SPEI 1, we identified eight regions of drought variability. So again, like the PDSI, it was the most complex season. And of these eight, only two showed statistically significant trends, which our first one is in eastern Kansas and western Missouri, and that was a positive increase, so wetting. Then in the Texas Panhandle for our second one, we had a negative trend over time. And skipping fall, I'm presenting the results for the winter. There were four regions of drought variability that were identified. And of these four, 75% showed a statistically significant trend. And starting with the southern plains, concentrated mostly in north central Texas, there was a decrease in SPEI 1 over time. Then in the northern plains, we had a very strong wetting trend over time. And then, like the first one, we had a statistically significant decrease in RPC 1 or SP 1 over time, and that was concentrated in eastern Colorado all the way up through southern Nebraska. Now, transitioning from our agricultural drought indice to our hydrological drought indice, the decreasing trend we see in SPI is not significant at the 24-month time step in the Texas Panhandle as compared to what we saw for the SPEI 1. So again, it's a flat line. Those p-values are way above 0.05 for both summer and winter. And here is a table showing the number of subclimates identified by season. So there's 9 for the spring, 9 for the summer, fall, 8, winter, 8. So it's a much more complex, particularly for spring and fall and winter, because in the SPI 1 only identified 2 and 4 respectively compared to 8 subclimates identified. And of these subclimates, there were only 2 to 1 demonstrating drying trends, while most of these, the subclimates identified by season, showed wetting trends over time. And those were 5 for the spring, 4 for the summer, 5 for the fall, and 5 for the winter. Now, here we're going to be talking about the projection for the SPI 3, which is transitioning back to an agricultural drought indice. So on the x-axis we have the time, and then on the y-axis we have the RPC trend over time, and we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And what we see is that most of the trends of the subclimates identified are decreasing between 2015 and 2100, and for springtime that is mostly, the sharpest decrease is in North and South Dakota for springtime, and then for summertime, it's high plains of Texas and the southeastern portion of Kansas. Then here I'm presenting the map associated with these trends for fall because it was had the least number of subclimates identified. In this case, it was 6. So as you can see, the orange line corresponds to the orange shaded area in Minnesota and eastern North and South Dakota. And then you can actually see the red lines also plotted very closely to the orange line, and that's focused on in the southern plains in North Central and the panhandle of Texas. Then winter time was interesting. It was the only season to show a trend in wetting over time for most of the area, excluding 2 different subclimates. So transitioning to the SPI 24 month, which is the hydrological drought indice, all the rotated primary components in every season were either non-significant or they were decreasing over time. And that greatest decrease was in springtime. And in springtime, actually, only 2 subclimates were identified, and those were associated with the southern plains and the northern plains. And it decreased the fastest in the southern plains. My discussions and conclusions. So for the historical period, seasonal drying was more evident at shorter SPEI time steps. And this drying was focused in the summertime for the Texas Panhandle and the winter for western Kansas and north central Texas. And then at the greater time steps, we saw most of the subclimates identified were experiencing wetting trends. The only subclimate that was experiencing a decrease in those drought indices was the eastern Colorado. Then for our projected data sets, we saw that the number of regions of drought variability were expected to increase for the shorter time steps. For the longer time steps, they stayed relatively the same. Then for the summer SPEI 3, we were expected to see a large decrease across most of the study area. Then for the winter SPEI 3, it was the only season with the majority of the climate regions experiencing a wetting trend over time. Then finally, for hydrological drought, we are expected to see increase in this type of drought over most of the area. And with that largest increase in drought will occur for the springtime in the southern plains. And that's it. Thank you.